Hebrews chapter number 11. If you're going to preach on faith, that's probably a good place to start, isn't it? Hebrews chapter number 11. As I mentioned this morning, I'd like for us to begin just a two-part series on faith. Certainly won't be able to cover everything that the Word of God says about the subject of faith. But as we move towards our missions conference and the challenge for us to once again examine what we can do for world evangelism, I thought it'd be appropriate to take the next couple of weeks, and then of course 2 weeks from tonight, Dave Rudolph will be in our service. Looking forward to his report about South Africa, kind of as a kickoff, and then the Wednesday night after that we'll jump into our missions conference. Number of things I'm not going to deal with. This message will not deal with salvation by faith. We know that is the truth. Romans 3 and verse 25 says, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. In verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And of course, we know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and Galatians 2 and verse 16 all tell us that we are saved by faith and without works. That's a very fundamental thing. Doug, I suggest you just send him the Bible. That'd be a good place to go with your friend. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me just draw your attention to something tonight. Don't read those verses as if you've read them 100 times before. Stop and think about what they're actually saying. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So just as a little bit of a background about faith before we jump into the meat of the message, if you will, let's look first off at the definition. Now, faith is a pretty good definition when the Word of God gives us one. Now, the word substance means a setting or a placing under. The idea is a substructure or a foundation. It also gives the idea of a confidence or a firm trust and assurance. Sometimes the word is translated as a real being, as in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Same word for substance here, which I think is very, very interesting, in upholding all things by the word of His power. The word hope for is to wait for salvation with a full confidence and joy. It's, as we've mentioned before, it's not a hope as in, oh boy, I'm sure hoping, you know, like I'm kind of against false hope, hoping my team wins tonight. I did tape it so nobody tell me what the score is, though it looked very tragic when I left the house. So I don't have a whole lot of hope. And it's not that kind of hope, okay? It's a confident expectation and a full of joy, all right? The evidence, a proof, that by which a thing is proved or tested. It gives the idea as it's enough to convict someone in a court of law. Okay, that's the root word that he's dealing with here. The evidence. So it's not just an arbitrary thing, but there's enough proof that you could convict them in a court of law with this. So, if we took those words and combined them together, I think faith is the foundation, the confidence, and the assurance in the person of Jesus Christ, who we wait with joy for our salvation. Faith is enough evidence to convince us in a court of law of the truth. Now, here's what's really important, and this somewhat ties into the Lord willing apologetic series that we will do starting right after missions conference. We believe by faith things. We believe in Jesus Christ by faith. None of you were here to observe Him. We believe his resurrection by faith. We believe his death by faith. We believe creation by faith. Matter of fact, the author mentions that here in verse 3, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But it's not a blind faith. It's not a faith that we just say, you know what? I got to choose something out there, so close my eyes, any mini, okay, there's my crutch I'm going to lean on. That's what the atheist and people like that would like for us to believe. Well, you need that crutch. That's why you believe that. No, no, no. There is evidence for the faith that we practice. It's not a total, okay, just a stab in the dark here. It's interesting to me that the author of the book of Hebrews points to one of the main evidences of that faith. That is creation. Now, remember in the big picture, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish people who considered turning back. And so everything really has a distinct Jewish taste, if you will. And that's why I think in verse 2, he not only mentions the definition, but in verse 2, I think he talks about the dignitaries here. Those, for by the elders obtained a good report. The word elders gives the term of a rank or office. These were great men and women of the Jews. And he's going to open this up in just a minute. He's going to say, now, let me tell you about these people. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, and then he gets to the end of the book, and I love this passage. Time won't have us to tell of Jephthah and of Samson and of Barak. And then he finishes out, you know, about a third of the chapter on all the stuff that these people did. Aren't you glad that some preachers actually cut short those things instead of giving you all the details? That's what I'm going to try to do too. The word good report is actually the word we get our martyr from. It means to be a witness. Matter of fact, it's the same root word that's used in chapter 12 in verse 1. Seeing therefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So this proof of these elders is bookend, if you will, in Hebrews 11:2 and Hebrews 12 in verse 1. Here are the witnesses, and these are important people to us. They did all this by faith. The word good report also can give the idea to affirm that one has seen or heard or experienced something, or that he knows it because taught by divine revelation or inspiration. So it's a good report that these men and ladies reported for us. So we see first off the definition, and then number two, the dignitaries, and number three, let's look at the dawning, that is the creation. He says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Follow this for just a moment, because it's a little bit technical. The word understand means to perceive with the mind. Okay, so we understand. We think about this. Again, it's not an illogical, blind, no thinking to it. No, it actually makes sense. The word frame can mean complete, so it was a completed process. Things did not come into existence or begin with something already here. This is really important. Follow this because it's going to help us to build a foundation of faith. In other words, God did not take something that was already here and make it. He made it out of nothing. That supports the Hebrew word, out of nothing, that we talks about creation. This text supports that as well. It is also in the perfect tense, which is in view as being completed in the past. It was a once-for-all activity. God created in the past, by the way. That destroys theistic evolution. It wasn't a process that God started and let it take its own course. No, God created back then and it was done. That's why we don't have any observable evolutionary processes today. Because there were no evolutionary processes. God created it. This makes creation an absolute essential belief to our faith. Now don't miss this. Your faith will be totally messed up without it. That's why I believe there's such an onslaught about creation. That's why people want to so much attack it, because if it is destroyed, it literally crumbles everything else around you. So you can't approach it and go, you know what? It really doesn't matter what you believe about who created the world. All it really matters is that God's here now and I believe him by faith. No. The author of Hebrews, whoever he was, probably the Apostle Paul, is no dummy. And he's laying out a firm case, and part of that is, hey, creation was created by an almighty God, a once-for-all fact in the past, and he spoke it out of absolutely nothing. This is really important. One author says, faith is also a way of viewing all experience, since it is the way in which believers see the universe for what it is. In other words, we view the universe through faith. Therefore, things make sense. It's not that we blindly look at it, but we believe that God created it by faith, so therefore lots of things make sense to us. Well, if the evolutionary process happened, then how could this happen and this happen and this? That's because it didn't happen that way. God created it like he said he did. That's why it makes sense. That's why light was created before anything else. So though we believe it by faith, it's not illogical. There's a very logical conclusion to this process. Another author said, faith is the means by which Christians do business beyond time and space and bring to pass otherwise unrealizable hopes. Hence, our faith is the vehicle that God uses to connect his realm with ours, to bridge the gap between our humanity and his eternality. What a powerful truth that is. Therefore, faith is absolutely essential. And the author makes that, in case he didn't make it already clear in verses 1 through 3, he makes it really solid in verse 6. It is impossible to please God without faith. Impossible. Without strength. Totally incapable. You can't do it. So no matter what you do to try to please God, if it's not practicing faith, it cannot please him. That verse alone would do away with work salvation, wouldn't it? It would have to. Because I am working to please a God, and you don't work to please God. He's pleased by faith. Every part of our life then flows into this. And that's why creation is really, really important. So as we open this series, that was all introduction. There's only 10 or 11 points to the message too. But I'm doing it in 2 weeks, so calm down. Here's the important thing for us to understand. Because he is faithful, we can and we must practice faith. Our faith is not based upon us. It's based upon him. Therefore, we're in good stead. If it was based upon us, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't it? If it was based upon all kinds of things that we could touch, we'd be in trouble. But our faith is not based upon that. It's based upon him. And he is faithful. Matter of fact, it's interesting in Hebrews 10 and verse 23, just a few verses back. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. It's not because you're going to hold tighter to it. No, let's hold fast because he's faithful that promised it. What a wonderful truth that is. And so as an introduction, if you will, to faith, I think it's important for us to realize it is a very foundation. Without its foundation, we're in real trouble. So let's look, number one, tonight at the position of faith. The position of faith, and that is dependence. Dependence. Any position that is not totally dependent is not faith. Okay? Follow me here. Am I completely trusting this platform? Right? So far, it's okay. If I had a set of ropes and pulleys and so forth, and they were attached to me, and You know, they were kind of got my coat up like this, and I'm sitting here, but I'm standing on the platform. Would you believe that I was completely trusting this platform? Of course not. No. By its very definition, if you will, faith is an act of dependence. I mean, it's a total act of dependence. You can't say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I think Jesus is the only way to heaven, so I'm going to take me a little bit of Jesus, and I'm going to add a little bit of Hindu, and I'm going to add a little bit of Catholic, and I'm going to add a little... Doesn't work that way. You are totally His. That's what faith is. So it's an act of total dependence, the position of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And this faith goes beyond just our salvation. I told you we're not going to really deal with that. But it goes to, number one here, a daily living or a living daily. Four times this phrase is used for us in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall, say the word, live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3 and verse 11, for it is evident the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. Thank God was trying to tell us something. I think he was trying to tell us the just shall live by faith. And that is not just that our starting position is by faith. We know that from Scripture. It's the daily living that's by faith. Mark 11 and verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Boy, that's hard for us, isn't it? That hard for anybody else in here to do that? I mean, I like to see where I'm going, right? One of the hardest things to do in the military is to trust the guy in front of you when it's pitch black. And we, at times, were in some jungles that were really, really dark. And they'd put a tiny, tiny green dot on the back of the guy's helmet in front of you, and you could see it. Nobody else could see it, basically, but you could see it. And I want to tell you, you wanted to be close to that green dot. Was a group that was in northern Okinawa, but just shortly after we arrived there, and the Marines did not do that, and the lead guy made a mistake in where he was headed, and he plunged off a 50-foot cliff, and four guys followed him before they realized what happened. We have to daily live by faith. We don't walk by sight. That's really unnatural for us. We want to say, okay, Lord, I'm fine with trusting you. Just show me the stone and I'll step on it. God says, you step where I tell you to step and the stone will be there for you. There's a big difference there. And it's unnatural, isn't it? How many of you have ever done any rappelling? You've done some rappelling, okay? One, two, three, four, five of you. Anybody that's ever done any rappelling, particularly the traditional style rappelling, you stand on the edge of a cliff and you sit down on the air. That's what you do. Do you know how unnatural that is? And when you get up there, you want to keep bending your knees. You want to keep doing this number here every time. And you can't do that in rappel right, okay? You have to lock your knees and sit down. So now that's all that's touching the side of the mountain or whatever you're on is your feet. And then you can start rappelling. If you don't do that, you're liable to get a face full of cliff. But boy, that's unnatural. Now, I'm not going to demonstrate it for you tonight because I don't have ropes on, right? We already demonstrated, right? If you think that's bad, anybody that's already done rappelling, done Australian-style rappel. Anybody done Australian-style? Okay, nobody. That one, you stand on the edge of the cliff and go face forward. Okay, you have a rope right here. And you just go forward. Now, I want to tell you, you're talking about weird. I've done Australian style in Korea, and you could barely see the guy at the bottom of the cliff that was supposed to be holding my ropes. And you better not get that rope up here because you're going to start sliding quick. actually my belay man didn't do something right and I broke my tailbone, which was not fun, on the side of the cliff. But it's an unusual proposition to just lay out there. That's called faith, by the way. That's what God wants us to do. And it's unnatural for us, but that's total dependence. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So as we think about our position of faith, it's dependence for our daily living. But number two, it's really little developed, isn't it? We would love to say we're great men and women of faith, but we're probably more like the disciples in the boat when he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now we can look at that story and say, yeah, it made logical sense, see, because here's the deal. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to die on the cross for our sins, and he was going to be resurrected the third day. He wasn't dying in a boat wreck. He was not going down, and so the disciples were perfectly safe in the boat with Jesus because he wasn't going to die in a storm. What would you have been doing in the boat? It's easy for us to look at that, and it's true, is it not? Matter of fact, if the disciples would have thought, he's the Son of God. He's the creator of all of this. But they didn't quite have that yet, did they? Why do we know they didn't? Because when he rebukes the wind and the waves, they say, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Oh, he's creator. That's who he is. And the winds and waves obey him. I love that story. Because the Bible says there was an instant calm. Do you know if you take care of the wind, you still got waves for a while? So he solved that problem too. Boom, just like that. That made us go, but isn't that what we were supposed to be doing today? When he says, no, I'm God, I got this. I'm in control. Well, Lord, I know you say that you are, but I think you need a little bit of help here. So I'm going to figure out what I need to do. Without faith, it is possible to please him. And faith is total dependence. Luke 12 and verse 28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do you live a life of total dependence on God? I mean total dependence. Where if he doesn't do it, you're in trouble. If we're honest, for most of us, we don't live our life day by day that way. Most of us don't wake up in the morning and say, "God, if you don't feed me, I'm not going to eat today." Most of us don't do that. Like, well, Pastor, we have to practice some faith that we can buy 2 weeks worth of groceries at a time. There's an element of that. That's true. I'm not going to debate that. But most of you don't wake up thinking about that. Most of you don't wake up thinking, "I'm going to trust the refrigerator to keep the food that I've bought." Most of us, though some of us may, we don't sit in our car and go, "I hope it cranks, I hope it cranks, I hope it cranks." Most of us just fire the engine. It is really by faith, though, isn't it? For some of you, it's really by faith. I've seen them things out there. It's like, "Oh, you actually drove that, you know? And they got a Minnesota tag on it. You drove it from Minnesota." That's even more amazing, right? But God wants us to live by faith. And there are things that we can declare. The truth is, you do live by faith. How many of you can breathe on your own? I know it's a trick question. Some of you are like, "Yeah, Pastor, what are you looking for?" You can't create oxygen. It's around you, but matter of fact, most of you don't think about it. Emily and John's got little Everett here. I'm gonna guess, because we've done it, I'm going to guess that sometime in the process as they're staring at him, not that she ever stares at him, he's forgotten to breathe. Have you seen him do that yet, Emily? And all of a sudden he'll go, you know. Why? Because his little brain yet is not used to the daily reflex of breathing. He used to not have to breathe. But it's by faith we breathe. It's by faith our legs work. It's by faith. All of that happens, but what we need to do is consciously say, God, today I'm dependent on you. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. Can't happen. How many of you plan to go to work in the morning? Plan to go to work in the morning? You're not going to do that unless you do it by faith. You say, I could do it on my own. It's a dangerous proposition. We don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? It's a total dependence on God. And I think more than the fact that I'm going to step out here on this platform and say, hey, see, I'm trusting this platform, as it is a conscience thing to say, you know what, God, I am dependent on you today. If you don't do it, I'm in trouble. God, if you don't control this old flesh, I have no shot. God, if you don't lead me to the people that I need to talk to today, I'm in trouble. Doug, do you have any idea you're going to have an hour witnessing testimony when you woke up Wednesday morning? Nope. No clue. Guess who did? God did. What if Doug started that day with saying, you know what, today, God, I think you could take a break. I'm okay. I got this day. Now, none of you would probably consciously say that, but we live it that way sometimes. No, what Doug did with his friend, that has to be Holy Spirit empowered. He can't do that. He can't bring conviction. He can't draw the verses. So it's a total dependence. I got to hurry or that's just point one. Number two, the pleasing of faith. The pleasing. So we looked at the position of faith. That is what? Two of you got it. The position of faith is what? Dependence. Okay? Six of you now. The pleasing of faith is declaration. Declaration. Again, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Let's look at that passage. But without or apart from faith, it is impossible. Without strength, powerless, disabled, unable to be done. Need any more superlatives? It's pretty clear what God's saying there, right? To please Him. The idea is to be well-pleasing to Him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then he says, for he that cometh to God must believe. It's necessary to have the faith. You must believe that He is. Not He was. Not He will be. He is. Well, He is when this was written? Yes. He is when it's going to be read? Yes. And if 1,000 years from now, someone's standing in a pulpit somewhere preaching the word and reading this verse, He will still be is. He is. Past, present, and future. Believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In other words, God says, I'm going to take care of those people who live a life of faith. That's what He's saying. And faithful people believe that. Otherwise, Hebrews 11 makes no sense. Makes no sense. Are you kidding? Moses gave up being ruler of the most powerful country to suffer afflictions with the people of God? Are you crazy? But by faith, what did Moses believe? That He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So by faith, Moses believed that choosing the treasures or the pleasures of sin for a season was not even remotely compared to all that God was going to give him if he stepped out by faith. But Moses didn't have those things right there. He had to believe God by faith. That's what he's saying here in verse 6. And the rest of this makes no sense. Joseph, all that he would do, while he's rotting in a prison, Joseph, you still believe it's okay to serve God? Yes. You still believe it was right, Joseph, to tell Potiphar's wife no? Yes. It is still right. Why? Because I believe that God's going to reward. I love some of these passages of Scripture, and we won't take the time to look at all their context, but Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." In Luke chapter 7 and verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have found not have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Talking about the same story. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 28, when the woman touched him, just believing, "If I can just touch him, I'll be healed." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." I'm sorry, this is the story of the daughter being healed. There's others in there too. I took out some of the verses because there was so much in here. Acts chapter 3 and verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So, we see the pleasing of faith as a declaration. And that declaration goes beyond just the way we live to actually our testimony. Matter of fact, he says in Romans 1 and verse 8, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ to you all that your faith is spoken throughout all the world." Philemon in verse 6, "That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." So what does your faith declare about your God? Is he really trustworthy? Is he worth stepping out on a limb for without having all the extra attachments? And then we're trying to convince others, "Come on, I want you to come out on the limb with me. You really don't need these ropes. I just have them here because." There's an abandonment that comes. There's a total dependence. I want us to see number three tonight, the people of faith. And we'll stop with this one. The people of faith, and that is daring. That is daring. It's interesting, both biblically and historically, when you look at people of faith, there's no question they were daring people. I mean, think about just from this passage of Scripture, and we're not going to take the time to read all of them, but just we're used to hearing these stories, but think as if you've never heard them before. By faith, Noah built a boat in the middle of a desert where there wasn't any rain with people making fun of him. Now, the passage in Hebrews doesn't say all that, but that's what the Bible says. By faith, he did that for 120 years. Why? Because he believed God was going to reward him. That's why. Flood's coming. By faith, Abraham left his country. And Sarah bore a child at 90. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. When God wants to do something, he can do it. Can you imagine Abraham at 99 telling his friends, "Next year about this time, we're going to have a baby"? You okay? "Something's wrong with you, buddy." Yeah. But that's what the angel told him, right? This is going to happen. Moses left the glories of Egypt. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. We're so used to hearing these stories. Put yourself there. As these mammoth walls of water, and you're walking through on dry ground. By faith, Jericho fell. and on it goes. Look at verse 32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail to tell me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Hello. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You getting the idea? These people were daring people. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Why? Because by faith they believed that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. We could add to this, and they were called crazy and foolish and dumb, and they're throwing their life away and whatever else. How about the woman with the disease that's 12 years and just reach out and touch the garment of Jesus? This one was amazing to me. I always love the story of the four men who brings their friend. I'm going to get to Jesus. Tear the roof off if we have to. Drop him down right in front of him. Kind of hard to ignore him when he's sitting right in front of you, right? You know what the Bible says? And when Jesus saw their faith, it don't say his faith. When he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I love it. That really gets them in. Fit, doesn't it? Well, nobody has power to forgive sins. Oh, it's easier for me to tell him to get up and walk or forgive him his sins. Either way, it's God that can do all those things, right? Because nobody else has the ability to tell a man who's impotent to get up and walk. By the way, take up your bed and walk. Well, you start an argument with Jesus, you're going to lose in all kinds of ways. Mark 10:52, and Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Acts 6 and verse 5 and verse 8, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they so chose Stephen, a man full of faith. And Stephen, full of faith. Acts 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. You don't take a shield unless you're pretty daring. 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. I know some of you have heard the story of Pastor Caleb's grandfather. There's a couple of versions that I have heard, but basically, when he was in Suriname, a witch doctor felt like he was losing his village. It's a true story. Witch doctor felt like he was losing the village, and so he created a massive fire and glass, broken glass, and he danced on the fire and glass and basically declared, "See how powerful my God is." Pastor Caleb said, "Before I knew it, I was taking my shoes and socks off and did the same thing." No hurt to his feet at all. You want to talk about daring? You better know that God told you to do that. And you're going to do that by faith. So the question is, how daring are you? I didn't say how foolish are you. However, I know people say there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. And I understand that. I'm certainly not asking you to be foolish. But can I believe that many of us have been foolish because we haven't lived a life of faith because we're afraid we're going to be foolish? And so we've just stood And now we're not pleasing God because we're not living a life of faith. And therefore, guess what you are? You're foolish. I'm not asking you to go out in front of a Mack truck today. Unless God tells you to. You better know your own praying ground if He tells you to. You say, well, Pastor, that would be crazy. Well, it's pretty crazy to go dancing on fire and glass, too, I think. But it was very obvious that God wanted him to do that. You say, well, he's somebody really extra special, and that's why. I agree that he's someone extra special, but that's only because he's trusted an extra special God. God's no different for us than he is for them or any one of the other great people that we read about, both in the Bible and historically. God wants us to live a life of faith. I want us to be able to point to things and say, God, without you, that is impossible. That had to be an act of faith. And the truth is, if we'll take the time, we can do that. In the next week or so, I'm planning to ask Diane to tell us where we're at in our faith promise since last missions conference to now. I'm going to guess we're 80 or 90,000. I don't know that it's that figure, but I'm going to guess that. I want to tell you, looking around this room, that's pretty much impossible. Where does that come from? I don't know. Other than God does it. And so every quote-unquote miracle that takes place, that took place today around the world, your faith to give so those missionaries could stay on the field was pleasing to God. To every soul that was impacted. I got an email today. I hadn't even talked to Matt Sterin yet, but I got an email today saying he's planning to meet with his young preacher boy, Takashi, who believes God may be calling him to an island right off the coast of Okinawa. Doesn't have a church. And the gospel's potentially going to that island now with Takashi. That's your faith in practice. It's your faith in practice. Praise the Lord for that. And yes, it takes. In some cases, it's a sacrifice. In some cases for you, it's totally faith. You give whatever you're given a month, you don't have it. If God doesn't supernaturally provide it, it's not coming. For some of you, you do have it and you sacrificially give for it. Praise the Lord for that. Well, I could put more in savings, and God's just going to have to make the vehicle last longer, and He does that. Sometimes I don't think we see all the little dots that God connects together. We'll find those out when we get to heaven and go, really? That's pretty cool. God wants us to live by faith. Father, thank you for your word. May we be a church of faith, living people. May I be a man of living by faith. Boy, Lord, that's hard sometimes just to step out, but that's what you want us to be. And Lord, as we move towards missions conference, we'd love to support more missions. We'd love to do some extra things for the ones we're currently supporting. We got some wonderful young people waiting to go to the field. Boy, we'd love to give them some help to get there. Lord, we don't have that kind of money, but you do. And by faith, we can give it. But it's not just in our missions giving. There's all kinds of areas. Lord, who would have thought over a year ago that we'd have a building sitting over there with somewhere around $185,000 in it, totally paid for? Praise the Lord for what you provided. Praise the Lord that you're reaching people around the world. That's all by faith. May we continue to do things that cannot be explained from the human understanding. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. God's spoken to your heart tonight. Would you just say, Lord, I want to live more by faith. You know, if He's spoken to your heart, I can help you in some way. And please let us know. We'll do stanza 1 and stanza 4.